Hello. Welcome to the Gnostic Waves. You're with Diana Azam. Glad you could join me this evening, this fine warm evening on the 29th of December 2015, almost the end of this year. Okay, so this is the show that brings you all things of a mystical, philosophical and psychological nature. And meditation practice too at the end of the show. So hopefully you can stick around for that. All right, so what have we got for today's show? Well, I thought I would talk about this very interesting and practical topic called the transformation of impressions. Now, this helps us, this topic or this tool helps us to live better and to suffer less. So it helps us to make these significant changes to if we're ever feeling low, negative emotions, if we're feeling stuck or trapped or powerless in our life, we can use this tool. So it gives us some options, some freedom on how to process life, to not be such a victim to circumstances. But we'll talk about that a bit later. But I wanted to start with what transformation is. So just talk about the term generally speaking, because it's something that exists everywhere. It's happening incessantly. Things are always transforming in matter. So I'll just give a few examples so we can, you know, better understand that transformation is something possible. It happens all the time very naturally. And for our own inner work, we can also do this type of transformation. Now, we have sugar, for example. It transforms into alcohol. And then if we leave that alcohol, like say a bottle of wine, we leave it opened, the oxygen comes in and it transforms into vinegar. So there's these continual reactions that are happening. The food we eat. So we know that the food we eat provides us with the building blocks for our cells and also provides us with an energy source so that we can break down, say, the glucose or carbohydrates is broken down into energy, and then one of the byproducts is carbon dioxide. And so this is one example of transformation happening all the time. If we didn't have this energy, we wouldn't be able to function. And so, and it's not just that reaction, but there's all these other cellular reactions that are going on all the time. Things are transforming into one thing or another. So we have plants. So whilst as humans we are continually producing carbon dioxide from the process of metabolism, we have plants that are continually transforming this carbon dioxide into oxygen. And so, you know, we need these plants to be able to exist and to have clean air. So also, I mean, plants do a lot of transforming of all the other minerals in the soils. And water and the solar force and, you know, things like photosynthesis and all that. So, the chemistry of life is just continual. When I learnt chemistry at school, you would learn a particular chemical reaction, but it was never a fixed direction. It was always sort of like in a state of equilibrium. So we had reactions that reach that point of equilibrium, and it's sort of a bit hard to explain in chemical terms, but if we studied that, then we know that reactions that go both ways, they are potentially always going backwards and forwards. Now, in this particular talk, it's not so much about these transformations in matter. It's more about the esoteric or spiritual transformation, and we often talk about the symbolism of the alchemy, which is traditionally the transformation of lead into gold, but it's the essentially the lead of the personality into the gold of the spirit. And through this practice, we create higher energetic vibrations within us. So we create atoms of a higher energy. So this is our aim. It's really to transform, ourselves even. And it's possible. Now, we've heard of things like epigenetics. These things are, we have the power to do this if we have the will. But tonight in particular, it's not so much about the transformation and the creation of our inner bodies, but it's more about the transformation of impressions. And so what are impressions then? So Gurdjieff says, or he has talks a lot about this topic, and he says that man is a three-story factory that absorbs three different types of food. And so we have the normal food that we relate to when we hear that word, so the food that we eat that nourishes us. And this is digested. Well, primarily we chew the food in the mouth, and then it mixes with those enzymes, and it goes into the stomach for like that real acidic type of digestion. So that stomach, that part of the process is where most of the digestion occurs. And then in the rest of the body, it's about absorbing those digested elements into the blood. So the stomach is the main organ we associate with digesting food. So we also have air. So we need air to breathe. We need air to metabolize all the food that we eat, as I said in the reaction before. And the air we get through the lungs and, the other organs like the nose and the mouth that help to us to inhale or aspire. So the third type of food is through impressions. So when I talk about impressions in this talk, it's more about the five physical senses. And we know that there are impressions that we receive in the inner worlds. We talked about that in the psychic development talk a few weeks ago. And so we receive psychic type impressions or more spiritual type impressions. But this is about the impressions that we receive from people. So impressions like words with force. So someone is, say, yelling at us or insulting us, they're saying words, they're doing it with force in their words, and it has an impact on us. If we see images like in movies, or we see something, someone staring at us gives us a really dirty look, then that is also an impression with a certain amount of force behind it. So there's lots of different types of impressions with different amounts of force. And whilst when we may not realize that, we can feel the different impact of people's words. Now, primarily, it's about transforming impressions of a negative nature. But really, all impressions should be transformed. This is going deeper in the topic. But we get impressions of someone insulting us, but we also can receive impressions of people flattering us. And it's quite important to not just be selective, because the ones where we're being insulted, that thing that feels hurt is the same thing that is going to feel good when someone flatters us. So it's like the same ego, but it's different, reacts differently to different circumstances. So it's something to reflect on. Now, in nature, we're not required to transform impressions. We do need to transform food, and we do need to transform air, but the impressions we receive through the mind or the brain don't need transformation for us to survive. In fact, perhaps it might make it simpler to not have to transform impressions. Our default role on Earth is to literally transmit, sorry, to assimilate, absorb, transform and retransmit different cosmic forces into the earth. So this is like the default, our default role in life that doesn't require much thinking because we don't need to be conscious of the fact that we're doing this. But when we work to wake up, then we start to learn, or at least in these studies, that we can and we should learn to transform impressions. So normally we receive them, they go, they're processed mechanically, and we react to life in very predictable ways. So this is something that we can do. And we'll go to a music break before I continue on with this idea. It's not really an idea, it's a teaching. And I'll be back in a short while. This is a track from the CD Contented Rest. It's a compilation of Bach tunes, which is really awesome, and it's one of my favourite CDs. So this is the first track. Back on the Gnostic Waves, that was a track from the CD Contented Rest. Okay, so transformation of impressions. Well, if we want to change, if we want to, you know, grow and develop on the spiritual path, we need to transform ourselves. And to do that, we need to learn how to transform impressions. Now, it's said that everything that we see as external actually exists internally. So we receive, we don't see something in itself, we receive an impression of it. So when I look at the chair, this chair in the studio, I see an impression of the chair. In fact, I see that light shining from the globes hitting the structure that is the chair. It's going into my eye. And then I've learnt at school that the image, it comes in inverted upside down, and then it hits the retina or the back of the eye, and then it comes forward in its in the upright fashion. So all these things are happening to so that I may receive these images of what I see of as a chair. But so everything that we receive is actually internal. So if we want to change and transform ourselves totally, we need to start by transforming the impressions that we receive. And it's said that if the reactions we have in our personal life are of a negative type, then our life is going to be negative. So if we're reacting to things all the time in a certain way, our life will be that way. It's like we create our life by how we react to it. So if we are a very fearful person, then we're going to have a lot of our life will be full of fear, because we're always reacting in a fearful way. Or same with anger. If we're always reacting with anger, then we're always going to be angry. It's not rocket science at all. It's quite illogical when we look at it in that way. So it's not the external circumstances that in our lives make us happy or unhappy. It's how we react to these circumstances that determine our happiness. So if we're reacting in a negative way, then we need to look at this, to start to observe that we're doing it, and that we can make a change from within ourselves. Because that's one of the first teachings in the Gnostic courses, is the two lines of life, is that our circumstances of our life are, we attract whatever level we are at. So if we're at a certain level of being, we attract circumstances of that level of being. And if we want to change, we need to change our level of being first. So normally we want to change external factors. We want to move house or move jobs or change, move interstate or overseas. It seems to be the easiest option. But what happens is we change place, house, job, and we find we're still unhappy. It's because that happiness, we are like a dog chasing its tail. We're never going to find it if we keep chasing going round and around and around. We just sort of have to stop and to be able to create that within us. And so we start to learn to do that in these teachings. And it's no easy feat, but we have to take baby steps, small steps into this work and this path of transformation. So whilst we live in a world of five physical senses, the reality of our life is in our thoughts and feelings. So how we process life, not life in itself. And you see and read a lot of things about different people or why some people are successful and why other people aren't so successful. And, you know, there's always things that say, you know, it takes hard work and endurance and patience and mainly hard work. And, you know, I'd attest to that. When we put in the work and the effort, we get results because it's just cause and effect. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So if we're continually working on ourselves, that's going to have an effect. It might not be an immediate one, but it's going to happen. And that's just a physical law, cause and effect. So our inner reality is how we process and react to the circumstances of life, or really to the impressions of life that we receive, and what we do with those impressions, which is quite important to understand. So whoever it may be, through the observation of themselves, finds that they are in a possession of a reduced number of characteristic ways of reacting to the multiple impressions incoming from life. So that was from the Master Samael. Basically what he's saying is that we, in our way of being, have a certain number of ways of reacting to life, certain patterns. And this is because of the personality. So our personality is what helps dictate how we react to events in life. And he's saying we have a very limited number of reactions in our repertoire, which is quite true. And that's how we can become predictable, behave predictably and habitually, because our personality is limited in its expression. Now, we can develop the personality to react in different ways. And, not necessarily just about changing our way of reacting. It's becoming consciously changing, because we can also just fake a different reaction to life and pretend that we're happy, but that's also not hitting the mark. We need to do it consciously to transform these impressions with the consciousness and not with the personality. And so I give an example, you know, a very generic one, where someone in our life is acting in a way we don't like, we disagree with. Our first reaction is instantly to get upset at the person or the circumstance. But when we try and transform the impression, we try and isolate the event, our reaction from the event. And so if we normally we react so quickly in a very mechanical, predictable way. It's like a trajectory. It's like a train, you could say. It just goes in its path along the tracks. But what we need to do is to actually divert that train. We have to put in another train, another rail to not dock itself in the station of our normal reaction, going to the normal place in our subconscious where it builds and collects there. Now, when we do this, we then try and understand what it is that we are reacting to, what we don't like. And when we go deeper into this, we're going to find something in our past that originates this reaction. Now, why does this happen? It's because the nature of our ego is essentially untransformed impressions. It's an accumulation of untransformed impressions over time. Now, when I gave the talk on the origin of the ego, I'm pretty sure I mentioned that the ego formed through our own misuse of the creative energies, and over time our energies became distorted, became trapped, became conditioned. And so the impressions that we receive form layers upon layers upon layers of our own creative energy or our own essence. So over time, I'd say over a lifetime, over many lifetimes, this layering has become stronger and stronger and stronger. And these egos actually pass from one life to another, which is why we see some very phenomenal things in children or people. You know, not everyone, but there are many examples where someone has clearly remembered something from a past life, or, you know, they look and act very similar to someone that we may have known that has passed on. And, so we accumulate these layers. And so when we learn to transform impressions, we start to stop that impression going into the ego that it normally would go to. So say, for example, we're walking down the street and we say hello to someone and then they ignore us. Then, you know, that impression, if it was untransformed, would go, you know, somewhere that feeds an ego, like, oh, anger, or, oh, that person's, you know, they're too good to say hello. Or we might, the pride might take and we might feel hurt and think, oh, you know, what did I do to that person? You know, what was me? They're ignoring me. Or, you know, life sucks. It could go to fear, which is essentially pride as well. We might think, oh, you know, why? We might start to get paranoid about why that person's ignoring us. Maybe we think about the last time we saw them at a party, and, you know, maybe we said something wrong and offended them. You know, all these, like, stories that we make up that aren't, most often are not the case, the reality. It's just our, it's just the way we've processed that impression in that time. So we cut the food source to the ego when we do this transform, and then they don't mechanically build up and create more layers and more layers. So we want to delayer this process, this accumulation, this blockage. So the ego is said to be a block in the flow of existence. And so we've got all these blockages within us, which is just an accumulation of impressions that we received. We may have received one today from somewhere at work, on the drive home from work, whoever. There's many different places one can receive these impressions. And so we observe one, and then we find, when we really look deeper into it, that it is linked to our childhood. Something from our childhood has, it's origined, well, that's where we trace it back to. And then if we go deeper still, we find that it actually originated in another life, in a life before this one, and so on and so on. So I remind everyone of that teaching where we are just projecting the same thing, same events, same dramas and comedies and tragedies, this life as we have in other lives. So if we understand one day of our life, we can understand our whole life and every other life, given, you know, the how mechanical we are, which is quite amazing, really. Yes. So if we don't work to transform impressions, they keep feeding the egos, they keep feeding the negative emotions, or sometimes they cause new egos within us. And so really we have this fantastic opportunity to cut its food source. Now, it's quite difficult to transform impressions in the moment, especially if they're really big ones. And so we do our best, and sometimes we have to take an event and take it into the meditation practice at the end of the day or whenever it is that we can look at it and find out, you know, what it is that it's feeding in us and try to transform that, because it's going to liberate us from that pain and the misunderstanding of this whole process. So I'll go to another short music break, and I've chosen a track composed by Vivaldi, and it's a track called Gloria in A. So we'll be back to continue on the topic. Composed by Vivaldi. So continuing on tonight's topic of impressions and how to transform them. So it's said that we need what's called the first conscious shock. So that's the first point where our impressions enter into us, and then before they go on their normal trajectory into the subconscious and feeding a certain ego or certain negative emotion, we have this conscious shock that is from the consciousness, you could say. And that consciousness helps us to transform the impression, because it realizes or it sees that the impression that's coming in isn't necessarily what it seems. So we need to have that shock, because without it, it'll just be business as usual, processing things and events, very mechanically. And no, there's no room, there's no scope for changing. But when we have that shock, that realization, then that's when we can start to actually work to transform them. And sometimes that's all we need to transform an impression. We just realize, oh, hang on, that's just ridiculous. Someone's just saying something, I don't need to really be offended by it. And so one really useful technique to help is to stop identifying with the impressions so much and not to take them personally, not to take life so personally. So we have tendencies to do that, to take someone else's pain and make it our own, to feel like we're being attacked or disadvantaged or being a victim. And so if we to be able to stop that, or to become conscious of it at least, then we can work towards processing these things and getting the deeper comprehension of it. And then when I was doing or preparing for this talk, I was remembering very common experiments in quantum mechanics or physics about how they measured different electrons, and they found that when they observed the electrons, they existed in very distinct particle formations or patterns. But when there wasn't anything observing the electrons, they showed wave-like properties. And so it's like, well, are they particles or are they like waves? And so it's really fascinating. And then to think that when we observe life, it's the same thing. Like, we observe life in a very fixed way. But perhaps when we close our eyes and we're not receiving these external impressions, perhaps everything exists very differently in a wave-like form, and everything sort of like is very wavy and completely different. And to me, that's really quite mind-blowing. And I used this technique recently in a meditation practice where it was a busy day, And in the group, there was lots of people there, and I felt it quite difficult to go within, because when we have a lot of sensorial stimulation and we've had a lot of activities during the day, it actually makes it a lot harder to relax the mind and to go within, even for someone that is meditating every day. It still has challenges. If we, I'm going on a bit of a sidetrack here, but if we really want to be good at meditation, we need to actually try and limit the amount of sensations we receive during the day, because it helps a lot. Or to transform them better so that we're not reacting and losing all our energies. And then when we go to focus within, connect with our divinity, we're able to do it and not fall asleep or not get bored or whatever it is. And so it was very helpful to think that when I close my eyes, everything that I identified with in their various forms, all the different people, all the different energies, just dissolved essentially, or just, waved, could be waved away. And I really like that. So it's said that in a certain way, it's fitting that we compare the work on ourselves this work of a transforming impressions to the process of digestion of food. So when we ingest food, it goes through very stringent process of digestion. As I said, the process of mastication in the mouth and the mixing of the enzymes in the saliva goes down the trachea, or the, whatever that organ is called, where it goes leads into the stomach, and then it gets dissolved in the acids of the stomach, and et cetera. All this happens with our food, and so we sort of need that same type of digestion process with the impressions that we receive, and we're going to benefit from that if we have that system in place or that technique developed within us. Because as I said at the start, our life is our thoughts and feelings. The quality of our life is in our feeling, how we feel about life, isn't it? And so it's not just our feelings we work on, because the thoughts have a part too, but feelings are very, very persuasive. And so when we work on this psychological level, then this is how we can have more power or have more freedom in our life, freedom at least from suffering. So it's said that there is nothing more painful than the words of an insulter. So when someone insults us, yes, I'd agree with that. But if one is capable of transforming the impressions produced by these words, they are left without any value. So that's to say, they end up like a check without funds. So we're given a check, but there's no funds in it. It has no value to us. So it doesn't really matter. It's not like, I often think we can just ignore or just shut out impressions. And it's not just about shutting them out. It's actually about processing that, comprehending them, and that they just have no value anymore. So whilst they may have upset us at one stage in our life, maybe now or after we work to understand why it is we react to it, what is it in us that is, from our past that we can see the mistaken concept, the mistaken explanation for the impression, and then we can transform it. And if it's not something we relate to, then we don't need to transform it. So if someone says something and it doesn't strike a chord with us, we just don't even need to transform it. Just go straight through. We don't even have to think or worry about it. Sometimes we do. We place more importance on people's words than they need to be. But we just learn that through experience. So how is it that we transform impressions? Well, it takes effort and observation of our reactions in the first instance. that's really what it's about. Not really being a victim of circumstances, not blaming other people. It's actually just looking at our reactions first and foremost, seeing what it is that's reacting negatively and trying to comprehend it and trying to stop that transformation, that impression from feeding that element within us. So we need to know ourselves. We need to know our past traumas. We need to know how the ego formed, how it's developed, and how we stop feeding it. And sometimes we transform an impression just by realizing that teaching. Hang on, that's just an impression. I don't need to actually react to that. So the teaching in itself can help us transform. Now, so we can get a lot from this technique, but we need to be prepared to look within to what is reacting negatively to get to the source of the problem. But we have the potential to do this. But to no longer be a victim of circumstances, and that people flatter us and we're happy, but then next day they insult us and we're miserable. So it's just about becoming conscious of how we react to impressions and what people say, essentially. But yes, we have the wisdom, we have the strength to do this. So there's other techniques like logical confrontation. I said if there's, for example, there's a really, good-looking woman or man, and we feel attracted to them, and, to imagine them in, as a 70-year-old. And then, so in that way we can destabilize that impression of that attractive person, especially if it's, going to lead us into trouble. So that's an example of logical confrontation. So often things like getting another perspective. So we can, for very, persistent, insistent impressions, we can talk about it to a friend or a counsellor or something, and we can get another perspective, because we often get trapped in our own way of seeing things, and that's really sometimes hard to break. It's impenetrable, and so without that help we can struggle. But the best way is to ask for help from our inner divinity, because our inner divinity knows us well, and can help us to understand what it is that's causing these reactions. And most of the time it's not going to be so obvious. It's going to take some digging to really unravel or to uncover what it is that we are reacting to transform that reaction. And so it's a work in progress. There's some things that we can do quicker, like some impressions that have less force, not so strong, and we can do it instantly, or we can do it, transform, say, within 24 hours, and there's some that, are going to take years. And but we can do it. And the one thing I found is with those really tough reactions is to just keep trying and be open to transforming it. It might not happen soon, but we can keep open to it. Sometimes we can just shut ourselves and say, no, I'm not going to even bother trying to transform that. That person is out. We can get to that stage and just block it. But even if we struggle, I think it's helpful to keep open that we might not be able to do it today or tomorrow or next week, but one day we may be able to transform that impression and to forgive. So it's definitely something we do continually transforming impressions. At some stage it will just happen naturally, that the consciousness will process will receive these impressions and not the personality, and then it's not going to be such an effort because, you know, the work we do is cumulative.